Hi, we're so lucky to have Kenny here today, and we're going to ask you some questions. How are you, Kenny?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad.
Not too bad. Oh, good, good, good. So we're going to ask you a couple of questions about your musical career. Just answer them and have some fun. Go on.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Having been in the music industry for around 50 years, what is the difference between performing now and in the 1970s?
That's a good question. Well, back in the day, back in the 60s, 70s, you didn't have the sort of equipment on stage that you have now. We've got on stage monitor systems and front of house guys, running around and making sure all the sound is right. In the old days, you didn't have that. You just had your amp on stage and that was it, It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same as it is now. Now we have a load of people on stage. We have guys, roadies on stage, running around trying to make sure that the PA is good, or the guitarist has got his leads right and everything. And in front of house, it was too loud, or somebody, you've got to get him down. But we do all this before we go on stage. We do sound checks, might last for about half an hour, and to make sure the balance is right.
You've traveled to a lot of different countries with Hot Chocolate. What are the conditions of your travel like? Maybe what vehicle?
Well, because it's Hot Chocolate, we get treated very, very well, maybe too well. We stay in very nice hotels and people pick us up and they talk to us very nicely and make sure, everything is. By the time the plane lands and we have our tour manager meets us at the airport, he will tell us the schedule of where we go from the hotel. We might have to stop on the way to the venue, to at a restaurant to get something to eat. Maybe not. Maybe go straight to the hotel and check in there. And maybe if it's a TV appearance, usually we go the day before. So we get up in the morning because we have the first undress rehearsal in the morning, especially if we're playing live. Say on a morning breakfast show or something like that, But mostly we get treated really well. I mean, I've enjoyed being the superstar that I'm not. it's been a great journey. Traveling to different countries, you get to see different places, how people live, it's a great business. I mean, I think you guys are in the music business. Are you're trying to be? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. This is a great business. I started when I was 15 years old, 16 years old, and I was signed to EMI when I was about 17. So it's a wonderful trade to be. I mean, you got to work at it, and if you work at it good, and be open-minded, taking as much information from other guys, who are doing the same thing, and you'll be okay.
Do you have a bucket list?
Yeah. At my age, you tend to think about things like that because you ain't got long left. so I mean, I want to go to Africa to do the safari. That's what I'm after. I want to do that before the good Lord calls me. And then I want to go to I want to do one more album with the guys and call it a day then.
Nice. Do you have any reasons for starting to make music?
No, no reason at all, because basically my father was a guitarist, and he played back in the Caribbean. He played guitar for the local venues and that sort of thing. I have other members of my family who are in the music business. I have, Omar? There's nothing like this. That guy? Yeah. Well, my brother-in-law, no, sorry, my cousin manages him. And also, the same cousin, he was in a group called the Root and Jeannie Jackson. They used to be on the radio back in the 60s, 70s on radio every Sunday. I can't remember the show actually, but it was on a BBC radio show, and he would be there. So I've got other cousins who have been in the business and relatives and that sort of thing. So it sort of runs in the family. It runs in the family.
Changing the topic completely now. Do you like pineapple on pizza, or do you think it's not good at all?
Oh, now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
I love pineapple.
Really?
Yes. I've got it. We're going to places, and I always got pineapple pizza, or I like chilies as well. I like chilies and chilies on things.
Yeah. Wow.
So I take it that a lady sitting next to you loves pineapple.
I'm not a fan.
Well, if she lived, well, if I live long enough for her to come to a show, she must come to backstage, and I'll get her pizza and pineapple.
Brilliant, thank you.
How would you describe the music your band typically creates?
Well, it wasn't created by myself, to be honest with you. I mean, I've been in the band now 15, 16 years. The band of itself, they came together back in the 60s, the late 60s. Yeah. And they got together just as a Sunday thing. Because I knew them, I've known them for a long, long time. Even though I wasn't in the band, I knew the guys from around where we lived in London. And initially there was about, I think there was about 12 in the band, 12, 13 in the band. This is the guys just to go around to somebody's house in Clapham Common and play anything, you know, play Mustang Sally and all this, you know, all the kind of soul music. And it's not until Errol Brown and Tony got together, and they started writing songs together, you know, and the band started recording songs. But I mean, all these things happen by accident. But when you become a musician, you tend to experiment. You know, you get your guitar, your friend gets it, you know, on the drums or plays the whatever, and you start writing. It's a natural progression, you know, because what we hear, what we like, influences what we do. You know, so you might like jazz, and you might go the jazz way, you know, and go on the guitar, you know. But if you might like in a drummer, you know, I mean, I'm working with some guys up here in Scotland here to do a couple of little things we're working on, and the influences is there. You know, you could tell each player has that kind of a feel to whatever he's doing, you know. And the, you know, but I mean, you'll find your own way, you know. I mean, because music business is a fantastic business, and no matter how much computers come into the business, you can never replicate a human being. That's nothing. They will never do that. I don't care what they say. They can make it talk, they can make it sing, they can make do whatever it wants to do. But at the end of the day, the human being is the only person that has that influence that goes to the instrument. For sure.
Who is your favorite artist or band, and why?
I've got loads. Absolutely. I don't know where to start, really. I mean, my favorite band would be Earth, Wind & Fire. I love the music. I love the way I've been to see them. I can't remember how many times, you know, because I thought they're fantastic. But back in the day, when I was growing up and I wanted to be in the music business, I used to go to a club called Clues Clique. You would never heard of it. It used to be up in West End Lane in London. And you would get people like the Rolling Stones would be there. Mick Jagger would be sitting, drinking, you know, whatever. The Who would be there, you know, and you'd have Jimmy, what's the name? Jimi Hendrix would be there, you know, and Zoot Money. You know, I know you've heard of a band called Zoot Money. These were back in the day, these were the bands, you know, and you'd go up to Clues Clique and two of the money we were playing, Julie Driscoll, I don't know if you've heard of her, she'd be on stage singing or whatever. And that's what it was, you know, it was like a great time to be around the music, because everybody was, you know, if you wasn't a musician, you were into music. So you go there and everybody have their favorite bands or whatever. Oh, just go up and just jam. People just get up and jam, you know, and it was a great feeling. I forgot what the question was actually.
it was, who is your favorite artist or band?
Yes. I had Ray Charles, Stevie Wonder. I loved the band, what do you call it, Elton John came out. I was a great fan. I'm still a great fan of Elton John. The Beatles, I mean, the Beatles too. I actually met the Beatles once a long time ago. Just the two guys, you know. And it was one of those things where my band. I don't know if you do you know London?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. My band was doing a show. We came back from a show. We were at Tottenham Court Road, and our band was going along Oxford Street. And we had a knock on the side window, and it was John Lennon and Paul McCartney. And they said, "Boys, can you give us a lift down the road?" That is absolutely true. Wow. And we went down the road, and we dropped them off at Oxford Station. He said, "Thanks very much, boys," and jumped out. This would be, I will tell you when this would be. This would be about 1968-ish, 869, something like that. But strange things happen in life, you know. Wow. Yeah.
Nice. Whoa. So you touched on this a little bit before, but did you grow up in a musical family much, or was it not much like you were separated, or what happened?
No, I grew up in a musical family. I mean, it was my dad was, like I said, was a guitarist.
Yeah.
And he sang as well, in a duo sort of thing. I have other relatives who are, you know, in bands and that sort of thing. My got a cousin who was in another band, Leo. He was in another band, and yeah. So it was always there, you know. And I was really, really wanted to get on, and I did. I did it for a long time. I've enjoyed every minute of it, to be honest with you. even if there's the downsides of music as well, because if you're touring and you know, in your first band or whatever, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs. You know, you get in the band and the band breaks down halfway to the gig or something, you know, or something doesn't go quite right. But the experience I had in music, I don't care. I would love, I'm so pleased that I've done it. I've never regret one second of it.
Yeah.
And it's an experience you guys there as young musicians, you'll find your own path in music, and you love it.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah.
The thing I'll give you, once you start music, I guarantee you, you will never give it up. It's really? Like a drug. It's like a drug. It gets into you, and that's it. Yeah.
All the time. That's great. That's great.
Do you actually like the drink hot chocolate?
I've had hot chocolate many times, because sometimes, you know, because of the name, we've had quite a few sort of venues that have used a hot chocolate thing as an ad for the gig, or you know. And of course, my mother used to cook and have hot chocolate, cocoa or whatever, we call it cocoa, you know, and stuff. And she would have real cocoa, the rich, you know, once you grater, because from the Caribbean, you know, you sort of. We've done cocoa chocolate, more or less cocoa chocolate. We said, what's the other one? We should do Ovaltine. We have Ovaltine, and Mum used to have cocoa and tea. Yeah, we don't drink tea in England. You see, we became tea addicts. Yes.
I just wanted to know, when you're making a song, what's your creative process with like your band?
The creative. I think myself that sometimes I sit in here, you know, I've got it's a little, I don't know if you can see it in the back. and I've got my my strat here. See, so I'll play whatever, you know, just to get and I'll put a drum machine on, and then whatever comes out, most times a lot of rubbish will come out, and all of a sudden you hit the hook, that hook that said something, you know, and you don't realize you've done it, not until, you know, till it happens, and then maybe your friend or your another guitarist or drummer say, I like that bit, do that again, and then that's how, you know, it's like a seed that grows, you know, and that's what I do here. I mean, I've just had a record out on my own. This was Life is What You Make It. And I did a Christmas song as well. And we got another track coming out with Hot Chocolate soon called Another World, I'm sure. What's the name of the song? Oh, God, my brain is gone. we got a couple of tracks coming out. So, so hopefully they'll be out soon. But the thing is, like I say, to get a hook, the most important thing of any song, if you're writing a song, is a hook. Mm-hmm. Once you get the hook, the verses, obviously, you have to have some credibility because they have the right storyline, the right essence to the song, you know. Once you get that, because the verses are a means of getting to and from the hook. Because whatever, you have to caress the hook. So make sure that the storyline leads up to the hook. But when the hook comes in, it's got to be, you know, bang out there. You know, I guess, you know, that's what you need. Once you know, you'll know when it hits you, when you hit it. And try to be creative about the hook. Try not to keep going to the same cliches of what you hear all the time. You just try and hit something that's new to you. And I think that works because, you know, like everyone's a winner. I'll tell you how that song came about with Hot Chocolate. Mickey, I don't know if you ever heard a guy called Mickey Most.
Yes.
But Mickey Most was the guy who actually had Hot Chocolate for Rack Records. And he came into the studio one day and they were looking for a new album. And Mickey said to the guys, he said, look, I've just been down to the market, he said, and I think the new album should be called Everyone's a Winner. And with that, Harvey took up the guitar, he went in the corner, Patrick started writing some lyrics down, and they came back with that hit. You know it, don't you? Everyone's a winner, baby, that's the truth. You know that one? Yeah. And that's what it is. It's that. I'm sorry my voice sounds a bit strange because I've had a very bad cold for the last 5 days and I had to do a show last Friday and it's cracking up like mad, so excuse me, my voice sounds a bit strange.
What is your favourite music genre?
I like rock, I like jazz, I like soul. I just appreciate good music, you know? I just praise me good music. If it's good, and it touches me, I love it. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's jazz or rock or a new wave or whatever. You know, because good music will always, there's always something about it that, you know, triggers your mind, you know, and your feelings towards it, you know. And I love it. I love all music. So are you all in the college there? Are you at the college or something or?
Goodness, no.
Mostly secondary school, I think.
You understand? Okay.
I'm home ed, so I don't know what that means.
We have one college student,
and the rest are all secondary.
Oh, so, okay. So basically, you're all budding musicians. Do you play instruments? Are you all playing instruments or something? Yeah,
I do. Yeah,
play a little bit of piano.
Yeah. Well, like I say, the thing about music, once you get into it, once you dig down, it's not just about the music. It's just about you as well. Because the thing is, it influences you as a person. It really works on you as a person. You look at the world in a different light. You know, I mean, we travel all over the world, you know, Australia, New Zealand, all the places, America. But when you get to meet people and the information you draw from, and that's a good draw thing, because the thing is, you know, you use music as a way of communicating with people. And I love communicating with people. And you see the look on people's faces when you do a track that they've loved for years, you know. I mean, and you've got to be very careful as well, because a few months ago, we did a show with Hot Chocolate. And I sung the wrong line on the second verse of Everyone's a Winner. And a young chap came into the, we have a meet and greet at the end of the show, sometimes, or before the show. And a chap came and he said, "Fantastic show," he said, "but you know the second line, you did the wrong words." Because sometimes even yourself, you know, you do a show over and over and over and over and over. We change the words we change the structure every now and then, but mostly it's the same songs every night. And sometimes your brain just has a blank, you know, what's coming next? You know, what's the next line of the song? Yeah. And you've done it 1,000 times, you know, but the thing is, like, say, you've got to keep on music. Music is a spice of life, that's what I'm going to say.
Who has been influential in your music career?
Oh, that's a toughie. I don't know. Do you know, my father brought, in the Caribbean, we didn't have what we have today. And he brought a gramophone. And it's one of the old things where you had two speakers on either side, a little turntable, and you know, the arm came across and dropped down on the record. And then, he bought a couple of records. They were hard. They're very hard records, you know, like acetates, they call them. And I used to play them all the time. Although I was only like 4 years old. You know, at 4 years old, I was into music. So my mother used to buy these tins. And, you know, the top of the tins used to come off the top of the tins. And she'd make a hole in the center of it, you know. And me as a little boy she put in a little bit of wood, nailed it, and I'll spin it around and sing, you know, whatever songs that came into my head. And that's when the music started from, you know. And so when I came to England, when I was 8 years old, I went to school in London, and the guys in my school would say to me, or the girls in the school might say, "You've got to get up and sing," because we had bands come in, you know, at the end of term, for the end of term, and we'd sort of have a band there, and the guys were saying to me, "Can you get up and sing? You get up and sing." So I should get up and sing. And then I remember my first ever audition in school. I was 15 or 16 years old. I went to Kensington. Now, this was when the Beatles were around. And the Beatles were so big that every record company was trying to get artists, you know. And I thought to myself, I'm going to go down to Kensington to this audition. And I went into this audition, and they had every band sounded like John Lennon or Paul McCartney, because everybody adopted the Liverpool accent. So every band was saying the same thing, you know. But I was the only black guy in there, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do? So they came over to me and asked me to get on the stage and sing a song. And I was petrified. When I say, my knees buckled, I looked at the microphone and I looked at the people. There's only like about a dozen people in there, you know, from the record companies or whatever. And I sang, I can't remember what I sang now. My Girl, no, Stand By Me, I sang. And then they came over to me after I did the first song, and she said, "Have you got another song you can sing?" I can't remember what I sang then. And I was petrified then. My eyes was closed all the way through. I closed my eyes. I was 15, 16 years old. I didn't know what I was then. And of course, I didn't get the job. But I'll tell you a little story, and this is true. When I, after I joined my first band, my father was a postman in West Hampstead, in London. And there used to be a record shop in Western Lane called the Shirley Bassey Shop. And I, my first ever acetate, and now this is, I'm going to tell you the truth, my first ever acetate was, I did it with a band called, who later became The Sweet, with Connolly and all the boys in there. And we cut this record as a song I wrote called Easy, what's it called? Can't remember. Sorry, my brain is going bad. But anyway, cut a long story short, my father took the acetate and took it into a guy called Ben King, who ran the shop. Now, I've just joined my first ever band, and then I got a telephone call one afternoon when I got back from school. And a guy said to me, "Hello, Kenny, my name is so-and-so, Ben Finden. I've played your acetate to a guy who's a biggie in the music industry, and he likes your voice, and he would like you to come. He's got a band he's putting together." And I said, "No, I've just joined this band. I don't want to go and tell these guys I'm leaving them. I've only been there about 2 weeks, you know." So what happened was, he called me back another time. He said, "Please, will you come up? Because my guy wants to see you." No. So I went up to Swiss Cottage. There was a big flats there. I went up to the fourth floor, waiting for the guy to come out. And the guy who came out was Andrew Oldham for the Rolling Stones. And this is absolutely 100%, I swear. And I didn't get the job in the end, but he loved the voice. You know, probably I didn't have the right look, because I was only a baby-faced little kid, you know. So, they were looking for somebody with long hair and, you know, rocker guy, you know. But that's absolutely true. So we all grew up. I mean, like I said to you, The Sweet were guys from Kilburn. I knew all the guys, you know, from the band at that time. And even today, I still do, every now and then we do gigs, like festivals, we do gigs, and there's loads of Sweet there. There's all the other bands, you know, really, all the bands, all the name bands that you know, yeah.
I have another question for you. I think you might have answered this already, but what is your favourite song to perform and why?
I like Emma. I'll tell you why, because it's a very emotional song. And it's one of the songs that when we perform it on shows, and there's always somebody who's touched by it. We went to Australia, and I remember this show we did. There was a lady and a lady, two ladies in the front row. And as we did it, she became cheerful to the point where she was like in floods. And I thought to myself, and afterwards a friend came back, when they came back to the meet and greet thing, and she said, "Thank you very much for doing that song." And I said, "I saw you sat with the lady, and I saw her. She was very upset." And she said, "Yes, she was very upset because her daughter who passed away, in Emma." So that tells you the feeling that people get when you, different various songs have different things, you know. It started with a kiss, people get up and dance, you know, but you know. Things like No Doubt About It, people sing along, because you know it means different things to different folks.
Which musical instruments can you play?
I can play a very. I've got a little guitar here. So I don't know if you can see it here. I got Stratton. I can play about three chords. No. That's all I can play. No. I could play a few chords to write. Because I play, maybe 30 chords or whatever I could play on a guitar. For me, to give me inspiration, to write a song. So, that's what I do.
Do you have any advice for young musicians trying to be successful?
Practice as much as you can. get into it, hook, line, and sinker. Practice. My son-in-law here, he's a guitarist, but he's a very good guitarist. I mean, he's like everywhere on the keyboard, the fretboard, and he plays a little bit of piano and everything. Practice makes perfect, and once you do that, and if you want to further yourself on, write songs or write lyrics or write, but whenever you write a song, mm-hmm. make sure that you get the hook. Wants to get a hook, because if you listen to all the records you hear on radio, the first thing they get is the hook. Because if you get the hook, that's what catches people. Every night we sing a song on everyone says, everyone's the winner, baby, that's the truth. Or, I believe in miracles. Well, there's something there that makes people identify what the song is doing. You're doing. Not everything is like that. I mean, if you're doing jazz, it's slightly different. If you're doing classical music, I don't know what you play. Do you play or play the mainstream music or rock music?
So we're
all different.
We're in different bands, so we play different stuff. I mainly focus on like classic rock, and all the types of rock, like soft, hard, venturing into some metal, venturing into some jazz, like anything like that, really, for me.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I do a lot of singing and writing of songs, but I don't really play much. I think there's some other... What do you guys do?
Yeah, me and Jamie both play drums.
Yeah, play
drums, okay. Yeah, we've got a very good drummer. Yeah, Tony's our drummer. I don't know. Tony Connors, you've probably seen him on loads of videos.
Yeah.
I play keyboard mostly, but I have done guitar a little bit.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, we've got one guy in the band who's our keyboard player, Andy. He's a classically trained piano player and everything, but and he's what do you call his ears. He can tune any instrument without using the instruments. Because he's one of those guys who's got I can't remember what he called. Just enjoy your music. Just enjoy music. I'll tell you what, you'll never not regret it, because I love the whole game. I'm coming to the end of my career in the music business, because age does catch up with you. And although we're still going out to Australia, still going out to Germany and Switzerland, and then I've got to go to Switzerland in a few weeks' time. It's a great avenue, and I've enjoyed my life with it. I wouldn't have done anything else. But you're not going to become millionaires. We're not always going to become millionaires doing it. We do it because we love the music. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay.
Great fun,
guys. It's been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you very much.